So we finish our series today. This is part five of Risen Vision. And, you know, as I'm thinking about vision, I'm reminded that my sister, Sochi, after she was adopted, she came to be part of our home. And we took her to the eye doctor to see about her vision. And it turned out it was terrible. And so the eye doctor fitted her with glasses. And Sochi, when she put on those glasses for the first time, literally jumped out of her seat. She was so startled at what the world looked like when she could actually see. And I think that's very much like how it is in this world when God gives us vision to see things rightly. We jump out of our seats because we realize all that's there, all that God is up to. Well, today we conclude this series on Risen Vision, and I hope you've been getting some things out of it. We've been examining five directions Jesus gives to the church, five invitations that change the way we see things. And you'll recall where we've been. These five directions that Jesus gave: fear not, touch me and see, believe all the prophets have spoken, and receive the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about Grandview's future. If we see this correctly, it's going to be Grandview as a fearless church, as a church of conviction about the resurrection, a church that believes Jesus in the scriptures, sees Jesus in the scriptures, and then a Holy Spirit-filled church. Well, this last one that we're going to talk about today is make disciples. Make disciples. And this fifth invitation is key to a risen vision because it reveals God's big plan. When you put on these glasses, you'll jump out of your seat because you'll see God's big plan. But you might be a little confused as to how this is part of a risen vision, because usually when we talk about this passage, which is called the Great Commission, we tend to think of it as just another command. An important command, but just a command. But this is not just a command. No, this is the key invitation given by the risen Christ, who insists that we keep it in mind until the very end of the age, that is, when we're resurrected. So do you notice here that resurrection is all over this Great Commission? Risen vision is all over this Great Commission. John Chrysostom, a great preacher of the past, he says this. He says, Jesus brings before his disciples the end of the world, that he may draw them on all the more, and that they may not look merely to present inconveniences, but to the infinite goods to come. John Chrysostom is saying, this is about vision. It's about having an orientation to the future. Discipleship is an integral aspect of this risen vision. And that's why we're focusing on this passage. Now, those of you who've been with us, you know that Grandview is in a planning stage right now. Your board is working on vision casting, thinking through all sorts of stuff. And we got a little sidelined because of the pandemic, but we're still thinking about this very intentionally, making plans for Grandview over the next few years. Now, plans are the ways that God's people see into the future, if you will. You know, we begin to project the future. We begin to try to look into the future and then begin to act on it. And all this planning at Grandview, at least for me, it's made me conscious of the scriptures in new ways. And I noticed that there's a lot of planning going on in the Gospel of Matthew, including this passage that Dewey just read. Have you noticed this before? I guess I never had, but in the Gospel of Matthew, God makes plans to send his son into the world, right? Christmas narrative at the beginning of Matthew. It's all about plans. God plans to send John the Baptist. And Jesus reveals his plans for the Christian life in the Sermon on the Mount. He makes plans for the church. And here at the very end of Matthew, we have other plans. While the chief priests and the elders devise a plan, you see that in verse 12, they're devising a plan to pay off the soldiers and pass off the resurrection as a hoax. While they're making their plan, Jesus reveals his big plan, namely the Great Commission, to send his disciples out into the world to make disciples. This really is the big plan, is to make disciples. Jesus is that planner in Matthew. He's a recruiter from the beginning too. You remember how in chapter 4, he recruits his first disciples, Peter and Andrew. He fishes them out as disciples, and then he tells these guys, I'm going to make you fishers of men, fishers of people. And Jesus does the same thing throughout the Gospel of Matthew, recruiting people to be his disciples, planning with them, and then sending them out to be disciple makers. And so the Great Commission is the crowning statement of what Jesus was saying all along. Jesus wants you to see life as a giant opportunity to be a disciple who makes disciples. That's the key thing, that you are a disciple who makes disciples. And let's just get this in us. Repeat after me. I am a disciple who makes disciples. There we go. Let's say it again. I can hear you. I am a disciple who makes disciples. Jesus cares about this point. And I'll tell you why he cares about this point, how we can tell. Because when you look in verse 18, Jesus came to his disciples and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. When Jesus starts an invitation with that, you know it's serious, because Jesus is a humble guy. He doesn't flex his muscles very often. He doesn't boast in being the king of the universe very often. So you know when he does that it's going to be followed up with a really important invitation, a really important direction. The Lord of the universe is trying to get your attention that this is what your life is about. You're a disciple who makes disciples. Now, the truth is we throw the term disciple around a lot in the Christian faith. So maybe it's worth defining. What do we mean by disciple? Well, disciple in its most basic form means a learner, somebody who learns from someone. But in the richer sense, in the New Testament, a disciple is someone who follows a teacher, someone who learns from their master and obeys their direction. A disciple is someone who practices the disciplines. Ever notice that? Disciple and disciplines are related words. A disciple practices the disciplines that make them into a mature follower. Years ago, I had a friend named Aaron Van Ruler, and Aaron was hilarious. He was one of those guys who was very serious about the things he was serious about. You know somebody like this? And Aaron got it in his head that he was going to be a guitar player. And not just any guitar player, but he was going to play guitar like Shane Bernard. In fact, he was going to be a worship leader like Shane Bernard. And some of you may know this name. He's a worship writer and a performer and a very gifted guy. Aaron decided that he was going to be like Shane Bernard. So he got a guitar like Shane Bernard. And he played the songs that Shane played. And he used the style that Shane played. And Shane Bernard plays a lot of triplets, if you ever hear that, on the guitar. And Aaron was always doing that. And he would look like Shane. He would close his eyes like Shane. And he would start to sing like Shane. He wanted to be like Shane Bernard. Every time Shane Bernard was near town here, he would go to the Shane Bernard concert. Well, that's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who is being shaped into the image of the master. And that's what Jesus is asking for from you, to be like him, to do the things that he's doing, to make disciples. And I tell you, folks, that really is the thrust of the Great Commission, is to make disciples. Now, that may surprise you a little bit here, because when you're reading this at face value, this is verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. And if you're like me, you used to hear go as being the key word of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is all about going. And you might think that because go comes first in the Great Commission. Like, you know, we need to get out there, be cross-cultural, even international, be a missionary, like an international missionary. But it's not exactly what it says here. And it comes out really clearly if you go behind the English to the Greek. And you remember the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And I can tell you that it's a lot clearer there what the main verb is. And forgive me, folks, we're going to have a little grammar here on Sunday. Bear with me, okay? When you look at the Greek grammar, what you notice is this, is that the main verb is actually make disciples. Oh, and this is funny too. In Greek, make disciples is just one word. It's more like the word discipleize. Discipleize all the nations. We don't really have that word in English, hence we say make disciples. But that's the controlling verb. It's the imperative, the command verb right there. And then the other verbs in the sentence, and remember verbs are the action words in a sentence, the other verbs in there, go, baptize, and teach, that those are actually participles. A participle is an ing verb. That's usually how we render it. So swimming or golfing or throwing, something like that. Well, in this case, it would say going, make disciples, baptizing, teaching. So you have those ing verbs, but the main verb is make disciples. It'd be kind of like this, for those of you who are not into grammar right now, which is really nobody these days. Like, you just finished school, you're just like, we're done with grammar, right? No, here's what it's like. Let's say you're on a football team, and your coach comes to you and says, I want you to play offense, blocking, rushing, passing. Well, what's the main idea there? What's the main verb? Play offense, right? And blocking and rushing and passing are all part of the offense too, but you know, but the main idea is right there, play offense. It wouldn't even matter if I said, hey, blocking, I want you to play offense, rushing and passing. Doesn't matter how what I do. If I use those participles, those ing verbs before or after, doesn't matter. The main thing is play offense. Are you tracking? Make disciples is Jesus's point. And you're like, well, so what? Why are we bringing up grammar on a Sunday morning? Folks, because of this reason. Because those with a risen vision understand that missions isn't some side item in the Christian life. It is baked into the Christian faith because it's all about discipleship. When we focus on the word go, going, we sometimes get the impression that only select people can fulfill the Great Commission. We think to ourselves, leave it to the international workers who preach the gospel to the Stone Age tribes of Papua New Guinea. We say to ourselves, I hardly even leave the tri-state area, so we'll just drop some money in the missions fund. And hear me correctly, Grandview has been generous with international missions and needs to be, should be, maybe even more greatly generous. But listen. You are all missionaries. All of you, if you belong to Jesus, you are missionaries. You're the ones Jesus is telling to go because that's part and parcel of the main call. Make disciples. You're the one who's going. You're the one who's baptizing. You're the one who's teaching because you are a disciple who makes disciples. Are you a disciple? Then make disciples. Go and make disciples at your workplace. Go and make disciples of the kids at Awana. Go and make disciples of your extended family. Go and make disciples of the poor in this area. Go and make disciples in each area of your influence. Where do you have influence? That is your mission field. You're a disciple maker. Being a disciple maker sometimes takes funny forms. I was remembering the story of Patrick, St. Patrick of Ireland. This is a long time ago. We're talking the 400s. Well, Patrick's an interesting guy. He's known as the Irish patron saint, but it turns out he's not actually Irish. He was a Briton. He was born in Britain under Roman rule. And when Patrick was 16 years old, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates and sold into slavery. He spent years in Ireland in the hills as a shepherd and an animal caretaker, and he hated Ireland. But he listened to God's voice in prayer, and God's voice told him many things, and then it ultimately told him to escape slavery. So he ran away from slavery. He managed to get on a ship. He managed to go back to Britain, and he rejoiced, and he joined his family. Eventually, he became a sincere Christian and then a priest. But something funny happened. That while he's back home, Patrick has a vision. And in the vision, he's given a letter that said on it, "The Voice of the Irish." And at that moment, Patrick says in his autobiography, he heard the Irish people crying out to you, "We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us." Well, I guess with an Irish accent. "We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us." That's not a great accent. I'm going to work on that. But here's the crazy thing is that Patrick actually returned to Ireland. He returned to the land of his enslavement, and this time as a discipler. He had influence in Ireland. He understood the Irish ways. He understood how they thought and how they acted. And he was instrumental in Christianizing Ireland. Ireland was, oddly, Patrick's arena of influence. So Patrick accepted the invitation to go and make disciples. He had a risen vision. And sometimes God may call you to something near, and sometimes God may call you to something far away, but the point is you are always making disciples. Well, specifically, what does this discipleship-oriented risen vision mean for Grandview? How do we take God's word and let it speak to this church in the years ahead? There are a couple things I think we can say. One is this, is that Grandview needs to be a discipled church toward God. A discipled church toward God. If you want to fulfill the Great Commission, you yourself have to be disciples. Deep disciples, deep learners, deep followers of Jesus being shaped into his image. And friends, I tell you, God is not done with you yet. He's not done. Some of you are in a really sinful place right now, but here, God is not done with you yet. There are others of you who are saying, "Yeah, I'm in a pretty good place right now. I know my Bible pretty well, I know my theology pretty well, live in a pretty good life. Great." Or you say, "Hey, I've been a Christian for decades." Well, praise God. But don't start thinking you have arrived yet. You are still learning to obey. You are still learning to respond to every single thing that Jesus commanded you. He is still working on you. Whether you are a baby Christian or whether you're a relatively mature Christian, you're not done. Jesus ain't done with you yet. Because you are getting ready for resurrection. You're getting ready for eternal life, which means you are in training for forever. You're getting ready for forever. Therefore, you need to be taught to obey everything Jesus taught. You're being shaped into the image of the Master, waiting for eternity. So I ask, how is God growing you right now? How is God growing this church right now? In depth. And by God's grace, this church over the next few years will come out stronger, wiser, and with more spiritually grounded members. I would love to hear guest preachers walk away from Grandview in the future saying, "Dang, those people are discipled." And believe it or not, preachers do talk about congregations. They do. They see that stuff. They see that in congregations. A second thing that I hope Grandview takes away is that you are being called to be a discipling church toward the world. You're a discipling church. As we've heard from God's word, you are called to disciple. You are a disciple making disciples. Being a disciple then is not just somebody who gets fed. Folks, I'm sorry, this is one of my pet peeves. Is when I hear people say, "You know what, I just want to be fed. I just want to be fed. Just give me a good teacher. Just feed me. I'm just a sheep in God's fold. Just want to be fed. Or I'm not being fed by that preacher. Therefore, I'm starving. Well, being a disciple who simply just gets fed isn't a thing. Of course, you want to be fed, and you should feed yourself to some extent too. But yeah, get fed. But you also need to feed others. You get ministered to, and you minister to others. And you say, well, that's easier for you, preacher. You're a preacher. Hey, I get preached to all the time. I got to read all sorts of stuff. I listen to sermons. I need to receive too. You hear the gospel and you share the gospel. That's what I do. That's what you need to do too. And you know what? God has given some of you special gifts. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that the rest of everybody else is exempt from this. I mean, Grandview has people like AJ who are good at instructing others. But you're all called to instruct others to obey Jesus' command. Grandview has people like Amy who have hearts for service, but you're all called to serve. Grandview is blessed to have gregarious people like Verge who are able to share the good news in really joyful ways, but you are all called to share the gospel. God is on the move. Jesus is out there working through his Holy Spirit, and he's asking, are you going to go with him? If so, make disciples. Well, Jesus is leading you into the future, making disciples all along the way. It's how you can see your life as a disciple who's making disciples. And in that way, you're getting ready for the future. In these last days, you're getting ready. You're living in that resurrection reality. Well, maybe some of you aren't hopeful this morning. You're finding it hard to see this church, even yourself, with a risen vision. Well, folks, I want you to remember this. If you're feeling that way, and you're having a hard time seeing God, remember this. God sees you. He loves you. And he sees in you someone lovable and someone who will become great. He sees you as you will be. He does. And the Father has been so determined to get you there to greatness that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to lead you there. The Father even let his Son be crucified so as to take away your sin. And the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead so that Jesus could lead you into eternal life. God has a future for you. He looks through the glasses of risen vision, and he is determined to get you there. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're thankful that it's first of all your vision. We're so thankful that you see us that way. We're so thankful that you see Grandview that way, because we have our days where we're not really acting great. We're not disciples making disciples. We're not living into the fullness of what you want, but that doesn't stop your love. It doesn't stop your love for this church when there's tech problems or when there's a disruption, when there's a pastor or lack of pastor. Those things don't stop your love. They don't stop your vision. So God, call this church. Call this church deeper. Call this church further. Inspire this church that it may become the things that you dream for it and live in that resurrection future even now. By the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.